Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. And, man, it has been a crazy couple of weeks. I know the show hasn't been around the last couple of weeks. I have been extremely busy. But you know what? I haven't just been sitting around, though. I've been working on some stuff. And last weekend, I spent 3 wonderful days at the Middleburg Film Festival. It's one of my favorite times of the year. The festival is now in its 5th year, and it keeps getting better. It's already become, I think, one of the top film festivals in the country, if not the world. I think the world of the Sundance Film Festival of Middleburg is quickly closing in on it. And one of those days, I had a chance to meet up with Greta Gerwig. You know how I feel about Greta Gerwig. You've been listening to this show for any length of time. Me and my buddy Tim Gordon, also a member of the BFCA, president of LAFCA, we had a chance to sit down and talk with Greta about her directorial debut, Lady Bird, starring Saoirse Ronan, Laurie Metcalf, Tracy Letts, Timothy Chalamet, Lucas Hedges, a terrific cast. And it's a semi-autobiographical coming-of-age story about a Sacramento girl who's about to go to college and she's ready to leave the nest, which causes conflict with her mother. We got a chance to spend about 20 minutes with Greta to talk with her about the movie, of course, her influences, the women in film, and a lot more. So I want you to check out that interview right now. It's a great one. She's fantastic to talk to. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I mean, how has it been for you? I mean, because this being your directorial debut, how's it been kind of getting it out there in front of people? Like, yeah. I'm always curious about that. Like, is it like getting a load off, or just like,
Well, I think the very first time I ever showed the movie was in Telluride. September 1st, so not even that long ago, and I was really, really nervous because it was the first time anyone really had seen the film. But then since then, all of the different festivals I've gone to and getting to talk to different audiences and sort of seeing these different points of connections people have with the movie from different places and all ages and different kinds of people, it's just been enormously gratifying. And that's why I make movies, and I think most people make movies, is to look for these points of commonality, and to be able to really talk to an audience has been just really exciting for me.
So this film, which I'm assuming comes from a lot of your background, I told somebody that they asked me, they said, well, what did you think about this movie? I said, it's the most Greta Gerwig-ish film it could be. Yeah. It doesn't have Greta Gerwig in it.
No,
and
yeah.
I wanted to commend you, first of all. I thought it
Thank
was
you.
A very, very good film.
Thank you.
But I thought...
Okay, you said it all quiet.
Because I really wanted to go. But I thought she did a... what is the woman?
Saoirse.
Thank you, Saoirse. Saoirse,
yeah.
Did an amazing job channeling you.
Oh.
How was that for you, directing, watching her kind of inhabit you?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because actually, I mean, I'm from Sacramento and I did go to Catholic school, but like the movie is not literally my autobiography. It's most of it is made up, even though these details are true. And particularly with the character of Lady Bird, I wasn't like Lady Bird. I was, made anyone call me by a different name. I passed my driver's test on the first go.
Did you put Just Married on the back of a nun's car?
No, but some other girls did. So I took that. And I was very much like a rule follower and a people pleaser, and I kind of really colored inside the lines. Like, I wasn't very wild and crazy. And I think in a way, writing the character of Lady Bird was like writing this heroine that I wasn't able to be. Like, even though she's flawed and she can be a jerk and she can be all these things that are complicated, she also is so brave and so out there with who she is. And so I think in a certain way, I never felt like with Saoirse, you have to channel me. I felt like we're inventing this person together. So for me, I it's like we mutually, and then she ultimately created this girl, this Christine slash Lady Bird, and it was like I really got to see an actor invent a character before my eyes, and it really is one of my very deepest pleasures to watch other actors say things I've written and interpret them. And I love actors, I love working with them, and I love acting, but I could never direct myself. And and I just love watching them find all these moments of rich humanity in these characters, even if they are just in the movie for a couple of scenes, that you feel like you could follow any one character and they would have an entire movie. And that's the actors. So with all of them, I never felt like you have to get it right or this is based on something I know and I need to see it this way. I felt like I was so interested to see what they were bringing to it from their own past and their own experience and people that they had known.
It's interesting that you say you could never direct yourself, because you've written yourself plenty
of
times.
That's true. But I feel like I've written for myself, but I spend the movies that I've, two of the movies that I've been in that I wrote with Noah Baumbach that mm-hmm. he directed, we have a very similar process of scripts, which is we mm-hmm. spend so long on them mm-hmm. and we don't do any improvisation on set. So once I'm on set, it felt like my job as a writer was done.
Right, right.
And I could just, quote unquote, just be an actor. Mm. I just think having to think about what you're doing from an editorial perspective while you're doing it, I think would make me actually go insane. I think I would actually just lose my mind. It would be too much. But I'm so impressed by people who can do it. It's incredible. But no, I don't think that's gonna happen to me anytime soon.
Now, one of the dynamics that played out in the movie that really interested me was the relationship between the mother and daughter.
Yeah.
That whole dynamic. Now, I'm gonna ask you if that's based on, because did you make that up
too?
But I loved it. So what did you actually, or where did you go in the invention to kind of work on that relationship?
Well, I mean, my mother was one of the very first people to see the movie. My mother, my dad, my brother, and my sister, I wanted to show my family the movie, and they were they loved it, and they recognized some things, and some things they knew what was totally made up. And my mom's line about the movie was, she said, "Oh, Greta, you wish I'd give you the silent treatment." And I know she just doesn't have that in her. She's not that kind of a mother. But it worked for the movie, so I put it in the movie. But, you know, I mean, I did have a very, I think there's almost something chemical, I think, that happens between particularly mothers and daughters when the girls are teenagers. And I think another version of it happens with fathers and sons, but it's different. It's a different thing. And I think mothers and daughters, it's like there's so much love, but you're so similar. And so when you fight, it's like you're punching the same weight class, which is really terrifying, you know, because you're both coming from the same place in a certain way. And I did definitely have some really epic fights with my mom, but then she was also my biggest supporter and the person who, you know, obviously did a million things for me that it's like even now I feel like I'm thinking back to everything she did, and it's like I feel like I can't thank her enough. But I wanted to get that sort of nuance of a relationship where it's like sometimes I feel like mothers are shown as either, particularly in film, is shown as either like monsters or angels. And I think the reality is most people are in the middle. You know, you make some mistakes and you do some things right. You wish you could take back something you said. You wish you could have done something differently. And then sometimes you get it right and it's great. And it's just this muddling through. And the same thing with being a child is that, you know, sometimes you're a selfish jerk. And then sometimes you're surprisingly empathetic. And I just felt like I wanted to show something not about perfect people, but about people who were trying to love each other and doing so sometimes better, sometimes worse.
Did you also have kind of similar feelings as Lady Bird does about wanting to kind of leave the nest and fly off to the other, to the other coast? Did you kind of have those same feelings as she does?
Yeah, well, I think I had a version of it. I didn't specifically have this idea really of New York. I more had a sense of, I did have a sense of wanting to go somewhere. And I think it was a feeling of being sure that life was happening somewhere else.
Right.
And it wasn't happening to me, and I had to go to Los Angeles, or I had to go to San Francisco, or I had to go to Chicago or New York, or somewhere else, anywhere else, anywhere that I felt like real life was happening, that it couldn't possibly be happening here. But I think, you know, part of making this movie, but also just the journey Lady Bird goes through, and I think part of what I went through was realizing that life is not more happening somewhere else than it is to you. It just isn't. There's not another version of it that somebody's getting that's more vivid or realized than what you're going through, whether you're in Sacramento or you're in Manhattan.
Right.
And I think it's that feeling of getting to the place where you thought you needed to be and realizing, wait, it was always there. Mm. It has nothing to do with where you are.
I think in relation to that, one of the things I liked about the movie is that you said it years back. Is it 2002, 2003, somewhere around there?
Stands, those
years. And so it kind of gives us the chance to learn what's great about Sacramento.
Yeah.
It's not a movie that's downing Sacramento. But it's also not one of those movies, because a lot of coming-of-age movies are about coming back home, you know?
Yeah,
and
right, yeah.
So you kind of get to learn about what's good about it, even as she's kind of like, I'm ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
But she, you know, towards the end, she kind of picks up on some of the things that she actually really does like about it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of the things I really dug about the movie.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's that she can't see what's in front of her, I think is a lot of it. And she also can't see... You know, she's always looking out or looking up or looking somewhere else. Like, I wish I lived in this other house. I wish I had this other thing. I wish if only I had this, if only I could be here. And the reality is like, but where you are is pretty great. And it takes leaving or not having to say, oh, you had so much more than you thought you had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's just one of the tragedies of being human. We have some problems being grateful. And I think that's part of it. Yeah.
The film, Greta, has a very universal approach to a lot of the themes that you use. Where you're talking about, Travis was touching on coming of age, so you're talking about relationships during a specific time period, the relationships not just with close friends but with family.
Mm-hmm.
Was there, I picked up, and maybe I'm reaching, but I thought there was a level of rebellion of the character that was in there. Again, as the creator of this, and you're this fictionalized version of this character, how much, and I'm always interested in people who are the writer directors, how much of you is fused in? Like, you talked a little bit earlier saying that, you know, hey, I made this character, and Saoirse and I are inventing this together.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of you that is in there from the pen to paper.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in every part of it. It's actually funny with like the character of Kyle, who's the sort of know-it-all popular kid. Mm-hmm. She falls in love with, played by Timothée Chalamet.
Semi bad boy.
Well, I gave him all these books to read that I thought his character would read, and they were my books that I had, and so I had taken notes in the margin and sort of was thinking about what the kind of things that they were saying, and then he read some of them and came back, and we were in rehearsal, and he said, "The crazy thing is, everyone will think you're Lady Bird, but actually you're Kyle. You think about all this stuff." And I was like, "Oh no, I do think about all this stuff." I gave him my copy of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, and he was like, "Oh, you love Howard Zinn?" I was like, "Yeah, I love Howard Zinn. Why would I put something in the movie that I don't love?" So I think it's like, in a way, it's like people I've known, things I've made up, and then little parts of me hidden all over. And I think that I don't know how other people do it, but I suspect that most filmmakers who are writer directors, it's like, it's not that you channel one character into yourself. You kind of have little bits everywhere, and you find these little places where things you love or things you care about can go. So I guess that is to say, it's sort of all not me and all me at the same time.
I guess it kind of connects to that as well, is, you know, the movie deals with her experiences with love as well. With the, mm-hmm. She gets two guys, which is not what normally most people do. So
yes.
She gets two experiences. Neither one of them goes perfect.
Right.
So what was her thinking in regards to her first experiences, or we assume her first experiences with love?
Well, I mean, most movies about teenage girls are, they always have one guy who's the right guy. And the sort of idea of the movie is that there's a right guy, and you either get him as a reward, or he's the goal, or whatever it is. And I just started with the idea, but like, feeling like, but what if there are two guys and they're both wrong? And the really the love story is between her and her mother.
Right.
But that's the core. That's the romantic story. And even using things like having her mother run through the airport to look for her, to me, it's like we all know that movie, but it's usually about a romantic couple, like a guy running through an airport looking for a woman. And I was like, but it's just as romantic if it's a mother looking for her daughter.
I'll be honest with you, I was worried that the movie was going to become her and Lucas Hedges' character, and kind of the movie being about, oh, should I leave this guy?
Yeah,
I was worried that it was going to become that. I was so glad when it didn't become about.
Yeah.
I was so glad the movie didn't become about whether or not she should go and kind of, you know, do her thing, or should she stay with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, well, what I also love about Saoirse and Lucas's relationship, you know, without obviously giving too much away to your readers, is like, he wasn't the guy who was going to fix everything, but she wasn't wrong to love him. He is a friend. Like, there's that moment where he comes and visits her at the coffee shop, and then all of a sudden she sees him as his own person, not like as what she can do in what he can do in her life, but him in his own story, and really acknowledging where he is. And it's like, then they're friends, which is what they always should have been. But I think that, like, I wanted to be able to acknowledge the intensity of teenage romance, which is so intense, but also have the movie know that that's not the main story. So it's a... I just love the way, I mean, this is a small thing, but I love the way, I think in most movies about teenage girls too, they're always waiting for the guy to notice them. And I love that she sort of picks them out and goes for them, and she writes their name on the wall, almost like a hit list. Like, I'm going to get these guys.
Wonder where she got that from.
I know. I'm going to get them. Like, and she's, and I think someone who's able to own their desire, especially a female character outside of someone desiring them, that they just want to do it, is a pretty exciting thing. And I loved how Saoirse was able to turn her laser focus onto these guys. And you're like, oh, no. that was the emotion I wanted the audience to feel for both guys, is just, oh, no. Oh, you're in it now.
So early in the day, you sat on the panel. That was about the year of the woman. And there is a huge, we're kind of in the golden age right now of women filmmakers and women storytellers. As a part of that community, I know it's a time that has now come, but talk about what that partnership, what that means to be among the collective voices now of women who are just telling so many varied stories in this industry right now.
I'm thrilled that there's so much attention being placed on making sure that women are directing and producing and being executives and doing just sort of every power position in the industry, that there's a real effort to make sure they're occupied by women. And I have to say that, you know, to echo what I said on the panel, it's not just that I feel this way because I love women and want them to have every opportunity that men have. It's also that as an audience member, that's what I want to see. And it's not that I'm not interested in seeing movies about men or movies made by men, but selfishly as an audience member, I want to see this other perspective. And I think a lot of other people do too, which is why it's not just a thing that we're doing out of a sort of benevolent act or a charitable act that we hold up these female filmmakers. It's because that is, there's a market. There is a market, and I'm the market, and so many other people are the market, and it's like, I don't think, you know, Hollywood doesn't need to pat themselves on the back for it. They can just check, cash that check. Like, I mean, that's what everyone is doing about Wonder Woman. I mean, and I think that before that came out, there was this real sense of, like, will women go? And they went. So many of them went. And I feel like this just keeps getting proved again and again. And it's like, this works. And it doesn't work because it's just, quote unquote, the right thing to do. It works because people have dollars and they're willing to pay for it. And that's the thing that really drives the market, I think. Because Hollywood is a bottom line place.
All right, and that was my interview with Greta Gerwig from the Middleburg Film Festival, talking about her directorial debut, Lady Bird, and she went into a lot of different subjects there, her relationship with her own mother, kind of wanting to leave the nest, you know, her directing influences, and also a little bit about Wonder Woman and, you know, and female directors and how we're seeing them really step up into the fold and take charge, and it's great to have her as one of hopefully one of the most prominent voices. Lady Bird hits theaters on November 3rd, so be sure to check it out. It's a fantastic film. You can find my review over at punchdrunkcritics.com right now. Thanks a lot for joining me.